Now, let's welcome our first guest. We have Alma Bessadine.
She's a former Victorian Australia Day Ambassador. And that is, maybe I switch immediately to you and you could explain what that concretely is.
Hello, everyone, and Rene, good to see you again, and thank you very much for the opportunity to be here today. Tonight, my time, and I think it's day your time. Australia Day Ambassador is, I thought it was a very privileged role because I migrated to Australia 31 years ago from former Yugoslavia, from Bosnia, because of the civil war. And while I didn't continue my legal practice, I was a lawyer back home. I finished postgraduates in human resource management and industrial relations. So my whole career went into really corporate in HR and business transformation and so on. But I did a lot of work with women, in particular migrant women, because even in all these years since I came, there were still difficulties for migrants to actually be recognized in Australia. Australia is a reasonably conservative country when it comes to accepting other talents. And mind you, even if you're expats and you're Australian and go for 5 years in Dubai, you come back, you're in the same boat as somebody like myself who migrated as a new person to Australia. So it's just a really conservative attitude. So I've done a lot of work in my other side of career, helping migrant women. And for that and for generally contributing to community, I was recognized with the role as Australia Day Ambassador. And so what that means is every year we will meet with the Governor of Victoria, as well as Daniel Andrew for lunch and events and so on, and there will be speeches. And then I will travel across the regional area of Victoria and do the speech, meet local people, you know, learn about their history. I will welcome new migrants in Australia and so on. It was a quite privileged role. It was a voluntary role, but it was a quite privileged role. Obviously, you know, government will pay all expenses for travel and things like that. So that's what entails for being Australia Day Ambassador. And I felt as a migrant, that was a privilege. I felt that was a really good positive way for other migrants to understand that one day you can achieve your career, one day you can be recognized within community. And I really enjoy doing it. And others that invited me on their events as a speaker really enjoyed it as well. But all of that changed in 2020 when I realized, you know, the behavior of that very same government that, if you like, awarded me years back with that privileged position. So I've resigned and I've sent a letter directly to Daniel Andrew's office. I've never heard from him, but about a week later, I've got a really email saying, thank you very much for your contribution. That was it. My letter gone viral. I had a very big following on Twitter and I had to shut the Twitter because essentially I had the death threats. You know, I had 200, 300 tweets from people that I don't know because, I mean, cowards don't have the profiles. You know, it's like cat and mouse and dog and whatever. But I've been bombarded ever since with a bad energy on the Twitter as well as a death threat. So I've actually shut my Twitter because I just felt it's not worth. You know, every time I open Twitter, there is 300 messages of death threats on my tweet.
Wow. And they come, do you know, like, which kind of, where the most resistance to what you had to say came from? Is that from, like, scientists or, like, just normal folks?
Anyone, pretty much. Some people were obvious, like with their names, and they were some of the professional people because a lot of people in Victoria in particular know me and know what I've been doing for many years. And some of them said that was a bit overreach, that I'm a lunatic, that I had such a great respecting community and professional world. And now since that letter, you know, many people felt that I'm a conspiracy theorist. I mean, let's not forget that was like September, October 2020, where many people didn't even realize at that point what was going on in Australia. So, and interestingly enough, I have to mention this now that you asked me all of that, Vivienne. It was, I was featured in Mercedes-Benz newsletter, global newsletter for the work that I've done. And because of these tweets, somebody tweeted Mercedes-Benz and the entire article was actually taken down. So this is the power of media and blackmailing and, this whole way that if you open your mouth, if you stand for something and you have integrity and courage to say this is wrong, unfortunately, this is what's happened. And this is not a first time.
I just want to quickly read what you wrote in that letter when you resigned from your position, just to make it very clear that you didn't incite violence or anything. You simply said that you are not going to go along with the way that the government is treating its own people. You wrote, "I resigned from this formerly privileged position as I feel ashamed to represent a government that in my view is not representing its people. I left my country, my original country, because of civil war and losing human rights, only now to experience it all over again in a once free nation and lucky country." And as a result of this, you got death threats and everything else that you told us.
Correct.
It's incredible to see how the very foundation of what a democracy is, and that's the freedom of speech, is being used to put everything, to stand everything on its head. It is they who are trying to destroy democracy and the rule of law and our constitutions, and it is us who must protect our constitution, our rule of law, and our democracy against these people. The reaction to this, I think, very modest letter shows in great detail who we're dealing with, pure evil.
It is pure evil, and they're criminals. They're absolutely criminals. I believe they're paid thugs of the government who go out there and attacking people that have, anything to say against. I've been seen with others. I'm not the only one who experienced this. There are doctors that their clinics being shut, like Dr. Mark Horbat last year, where police basically walked in into, well, we don't know what the police, it just said, I don't know, Victoria something. Didn't even show the search warrant, nothing. They raided his office because he was helping community. They took the personal files off the medical files of the people. And wow. They shut his clinic. And there are a couple of other doctors in Victoria here that experienced a similar, but it was extraordinary because Dr. Mark Horbat stood up, he was working with the nursing homes as well. He knew what was going on. There are other few doctors. There is Dr. Catherine Fines, who also walked away from the system. She is an amazing integrative doctor. And there are others. There are nurses like Kimberly McCotton, who is McConchie, who also walked away from 40 years of being a nurse. You know, there is a Dr. Robert Brennan in Queensland who also lost the license. There are amazing, credible people. And everything is inverted, as you're saying, Raina. It's everything that is good is now seen to be as basically not good. Everything is upside down. And in the last 6 months, anyone who is not jabbed in Victoria here, nobody can get jobs. And if that's not a blackmailing and a medical tyranny, I don't know what it is. Unfortunately, there are people that still don't see that. And, they don't understand that by every time you do this QR code or, showing vaccine passports, you actually gave in your rights. So they're compromising just for the steak that they can eat on their favorite restaurant, or, you know, have a coffee in a favorite shop or something like that. They don't actually comprehend. And what really is obvious to me, in the last 15 years, the workplace in Australia has been changed. I left my corporate permanent job in the largest telecommunications here in 2006. And ever since, I've been taking interim executive roles, doing consulting work and so on. The workplace has changed. And the workplace, I couldn't believe how the workplace is changing, where, you know, we kind of talk about diversity and inclusion and we have all this HR policy, but in essence, in a practical terms, the human resources now in this country is creating policies that you can't get a job if you're not only one jabbed, but second and a third and any other mandate that the government is mandating. And, you know, I basically stepped away from my entire corporate career. I was, I was one of the counselors of the Australian Institute of Human Resource Management. I was vice president for education. I had so many privileged positions. I walked away because I could see where the workplace in Australia is going. And now that I reflect in the last 2.5 years, I think this is all by design. It's a preparation for what's happening now. And, if you think about what happened in 2020, I mean, Melbourne was the most lockdown city in the world. I can't believe it. I said to people, I would rather go and deal with the civil war in former Yugoslavia, even it was very stressful, but at least I knew who was my enemy. In the first lockdown after 6 weeks, people didn't even realize that the 5G towers were put almost in every corner of the building, plus these cameras, the facial recognition camera. I've been talking about that since April, May last year, and people just can't understand. Why do we need to, what that has to do with the health, facial recognition cameras? One of the major city, shopping centers here, Chadstone, proudly was featured on one of the channels, television channels, that they have a special room where the facial recognition is actually monitoring people, and if you are not 1.5 meters distance, they basically call you out and the guards come and separate you. I mean, it's extraordinary. You know, if there is a George Orwell, it's here in Melbourne.
What kind of room is that? What kind of room is that where you have this separation thing?
Well, this is in one of the biggest shopping centers here in Melbourne, a very exclusive shopping center. And they were featured last year in one of the major channels here in Australia, that they have a room with the cameras and the security guys are monitoring people and they have a facial recognition. And if you are not distancing 1.5 meters or whatever it is, they basically, what I understood, via microphone, they will say, you know, you lady with the glasses, with the silver top, with the necklace, you need to move away from person in red. And the security will find them and they will separate them.
So that's kind of a lounge within that lounge area,
yeah,
or something.
In the center.
Okay,
yeah.
In the shopping center.
And, and that was proudly presented. Like, you know, we are proud to say that, you know, we, and by the way, I don't watch television for 12 years. I will send that clip because people know that I want to know things like that, but I have no passion watching news because they just, you know, I can't watch these faces of lying politicians that are just simply a bunch of psychopaths lying to Australian people.
Could you give us a little overview of the situation, the current situation in Australia? Maybe, I mean, we heard about these the quarantine camps, mm-hmm. or like what else is going on at the moment, and are there protests? Is that growing? What's your view on the situation?
Yeah,
I think people are getting a little bit tired with the protests because they are not resulting in much change, if you like, especially here in Australia. We had so many protests, but every single bill that is evil, pure evil bill, is still going through because people in the parliament don't really care how many people are protesting. There was a protest a couple of weeks ago. In fact, I think last weekend in Canberra, that was probably the biggest protest. And the television said there was 10,000 people, which is a lie. We saw the view from helicopters, and they're estimating there were probably over 2 million in Canberra. So the challenge with the protest is what we're finding that is that they are infiltrated by a lot of minor political parties who just want to sidetrack the whole agenda. And what I understand, and I've seen also people shared the videos in Canberra, the federal police appears to be using sonic weapons. I've seen on Telegram and other channels, people actually had a burnt face, and it's radiation. You can see it's a radiation. And there was an investigation. I've seen the clip by one of the senators asking somebody from federal police, did they use the sonic weapons? And he didn't answer. He waffled through and said that I think we as a federal police need to gain immunity.
So the sonic weapon, what does that do exactly?
It's basically as a microwave 10,000 times more pushing radiation. So basically, they cook you with that. And last year, during one of the protests, they actually used that weapon as well.
So that's supposed to make you uncomfortable at the...
It actually fries you, essentially just cooks you like a chicken. There were pictures of people that after that protest, their whole face was swollen, their eyes were swollen. They had the burns on their legs and arms and face. It's more than one person.
But don't people see that this is getting completely out of hand and this is so far removed from health protection? It's the opposite. I mean, don't they see that nobody's dying from COVID, but people are dying because of the measures?
The challenge, Raina, is that these channels are on the channels that we follow, if you like, because these days everyone has a phone and you can phone what's happening, but those sorts of things will not appear on a major television. Mm-hmm. And people who believe government, they don't go on Telegram and search independent channels from people or, you know, asking their friends, because their friends will not go on those sorts of protests anyway. So there is a still, if you like, isolation by vast majority. Like, you know, my own family, They watch television. They think people like myself are conspiracy theorists because they believe government, they believe the stats the government puts. They don't watch into these other channels and things like that. And that's the part of the challenge. How do you wake up people? I mean, we're talking about the stats and how much they're lying. The Bureau of Statistics released, I think, a couple of days ago, they released a new... data, and it's all out there. And it says that the COVID-19 was the 38th leading cause of death. And they said that medium age was 86 years. That's the Bureau of Statistics data, because I love data. I mean, I don't much trust the data from government in general, but if you put the Bureau of Statistics, then you have to sit down and you think, what the hell is going on? And then there is another stat. There were 26,995 people who died from potentially avoidable causes. But this compares, and we're talking here 2020, this compares to 27,979 deaths in 2019. So more people die in 2019 altogether for all type of deaths than actually in 2020 by so-called such a deadly virus?
So this is ultimately, if you have access to real information, this is ultimately the real problem. People don't know anything because the mainstream media and the politicians intentionally lied to them. They live 100%. In this huge illusion.
Well, I think that's by design, because yeah. One minute they tell us, wear a mask. Another minute, you don't need to wear a mask. And then another minute, you can go and sit, but not wear a mask. But if you go 2 meters there, you need to wear a mask. It's just, and I think this confusion is deliberate, because when you mess up with the people's mind, then they almost like are hypnotized. And, you know, as an NLP coach, I mean, neuro-linguistic program, I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, but I understand enough of the power of language. And if you listen, every politician out there, and then you look their body language and their language, that language is a language of dictatorship, of manipulation. It's not about, healing. But somehow, because it's on television and you go in every shop, it's 24/7 about you need to go and get your second job and third job, jab. And when you repeat that enough, subconsciously people will actually start believing in it. You know, a couple of days ago, Western Australia Premier, I don't even know his name, he said that if you get a 2 jabs, that's a 4% protection, only 2% protection. And he said, this is scientific proof. And I'm thinking, okay, where is that proof? It's just becoming ridiculous.
Well, Alma, the truth is, and we have found this out through not just because we were looking into a glass ball or something, but because we interviewed experts. The truth is that these so-called vaccinations are totally, completely, 1,000% ineffective, and they're extremely dangerous. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to drop dead after you get the shots, but you have a good chance of suffering serious damage. One of the most impressive videos, we spoke about it before we went live, is that of an American comedian who went on stage, made fun of the unvaccinated, and then said, I got 3 shots and et cetera, et cetera. I'm fine. God loves me the best. And the moment she says that, it's as though she falls like timber.
Yeah,
and fractured her head. I'm not religious. I keep telling that over and over again, but I do believe in spirituality. If that is not a sign, then what is a sign?
It's like a 100% authentic video. I think, yes. I mean, if it is, then it's quite impressive. If it's not, I think it's still quite a strong symbol, because that's what happens to these people. Some of them go and get the third shot, and then all of a sudden we have like 20% with this Gürtelrose. What's the word for that again in English, Rainer?
I don't know. Wolfgang may know it.
This like herpes kind of problem?
Where HIV. You get... Is it HIV?
No, not HIV. I mean, it's this do you know what a lot of people get from this herpes kind of thing that you get
shingles.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what it is.
Yeah, shingles. So you get that everywhere, like basically just right after the vaccination or other things that people have. And it's like, it's really bizarre. Like what people get from that and straight afterwards. So it's like if it's a symbol, then at least it's quite a strong one. Let me just like get back once more. I would like to the fines, the high fines that they were giving to people for like participating maybe in demonstrations or like doing other things that are not wanted. Is that still a problem in Australia? Is that followed through? And also I would like to get back to this quarantine camps, because that has kind of bothered me, like what's going on that front.
Well, last year there was a protest here in Melbourne where the first time we actually saw these sonic weapons. It looks like a tank and it has like a flat sort of thing. I don't know how to describe it, but that was used, but also they've used the rubber bullets. And one of the people there was actually had internal bleeding afterwards. So that happened last year. I can't remember exactly which month. Would have been September, maybe, something like that. So they've used that. Now they've used sonic weapons, it looked like. It appears in Canberra. I don't know about the camps. There are lots of videos circulating in Australia about those camps, and it's quite frightening. The last one, I'm not sure, was it in Queensland or where was it? The worker who is on a construction was actually showing those camps. And it looks like they looks like a modern version of gas chambers. That's what they look like. You can put two people in there. He said you can't actually break the glass. It's completely isolated. You can't break the glass. And there is he was showing where the gas pipes are going in and connecting essentially with a little opening for the gas. It's really frightening.
But what is that for?
Nobody knows.
This may be, unless it's, I mean, there's lots of rumors floating around created by the other side. Because as you rightly pointed out, one of their major objectives is to disorient us, to confuse us, so that ultimately we will simply give in to whatever orders they give us. So I wouldn't necessarily believe that they have that. But if they do have it, then, I mean, how much closer can you get to the Third Reich?
Oh, we are already in it, Rainer. I mean, unfortunately, Australians are beautiful people, but they're not educated in history. Mm-hmm. And history is being repeated.
Yes.
When I say to them that, like, you know, my husband is German, he was born here, and his parents came in Australia, you know, because of what happened in Germany, they're beautiful people. And, you know, he was telling me when he was growing up in Australia, he was called Little Nazi. And the teachers will say to him, why Germans never, you know, stood up against Nazi and all of that. So my question is, why Victorian people never stood up to Daniel Andrew when he started this? And in fact, a lot of them said that he is their savior. The history has been repeated. The problem is they don't understand what that history means. And myself being European, every 50 years in Europe, there is a war in Balkans. I grew up listening to those stories about the wars and what's happened in Vatican and this and that. You know, but unfortunately, I think Australia, you know, it's been really disadvantaged in so many ways through the school system, through the workplace, and I think they've been infiltrated for decades with the people that are pure evil. I mean, you cannot be a human to do what this government is doing. You cannot be human. There is no empathy. There is no sympathy. There is no solution apart from, you know, just go and get jabbed. It's not one. It's not two. It's three. Now they're talking about the fourth. You know, there are 2 years old kids on the streets wearing a mask. That's a child abuse. But these people can't even stand. So, I think people are waking up. Some maybe intuitively feel something is not right, but they don't have the context that there is this whole agenda of the one world government and Klaus Schwab, who is a pure Nazi. You know, I mean, you can see, just read his book, it's all there. They don't understand what's the Agenda 2030 or Agenda 2021. They don't understand the Rockefellers and all of that. And it takes time to research. You know, for 20 years, I've been awake for a lot of things. But I have to say, since 2020, I had a crash course to really understanding what's happening around the world. And thanks to you and Vivian and your programs and others, you know, one thing led to another and curiosity to research, and you start connecting the dots. But in April last year, in 2020, we already knew that this is a Trojan horse to implement dictatorship. That's COVID-19. It's a Trojan horse. And when I say this to people, they say to me, what's a Trojan horse? People need to educate themselves in history. And that's the part of the problem. So, you know, we look at the head of police in Australia. Now, just give you one example. In 2015, Senator Heffernan was doing investigation on pedophiles in Australia, and he had that thick papers in his hand. And he said, there is 28 high-level pedophiles proven and investigated by police. There are high-level profile people, including former Prime Minister of Australia.
Whoa.
And when he asked why these papers were never basically put forward to us as Australian people, the answer was, if we knew what was going on, the Australian people will lose the confidence in government. That was the answer.
Alma, can you say that again? This is in 2017.
2015. I will send you a link, Ryan. I will send you the link. It's on YouTube. Senator Heffernan was inquiring about this paper of 28 high-level profile people, including former Prime Minister. Why we as Australians, why that never gone anywhere? Basically, police investigated and that was put in a drawer. And the answer was why we never knew who these people are was because they, politicians, police or whoever, didn't want Australian people to lose the confidence in the politicians of Australia.
In other words, we must have confidence in pedophiles?
Correct.
Holy smokes.
And I think a couple of weeks ago, I've seen a new ad. I think it's real by the Victorian government. Basically, initiating the fact is that the video was older woman, probably about 45, with 14 years old, another girl, and they're obviously partners. And the older one is taking the girl to get a jab and say, let's do this together. Your parents don't even need to know. That's the latest ad. Not only they're promoting pedophilia, but they're promoting that if you're 14 or whatever, you don't need to tell your parents to go and get jabbed. I'm speechless what I'm seeing in this country. I think this country is infested by pure evil.
I mean, that's really interesting because that's also undermining, like, you know, from the officially undermining the you know, bond of trust between parents and children. So they're actually like, I mean, you can steal something here, but don't even tell your parents, or you can do this and they don't have to know. I mean, that's kind of, that's really intense.
There is last 10, 15 years, can't remember when they started the safe schools, they're called. These safe schools are actually not safe at all. They're promoting pedophilia, LGBTQ, all these fluid gender, they're teaching them all these things. It's disgusting what has become of this country. That's not education, it's indoctrination. And in fact, some good people, I know some of my friends, they're petrified of what's happening in the schools. And I think that people actually need to pull them out of schools and do the homeschooling.
Yes.
You know what I also think is very problematic. I mean, if you go get the jab, like as a 14-year-old or whatever, and then you don't tell their parents, and then maybe you have side effects, and that's then, you know, this secret that you have, like with regards to your parents, might even hinder you from telling them, look, this is what I experienced. Or you come with excuses, like which might even, you know, add to the problem that you can't then address the health problems that you have. So it's also a really dangerous kind of thing.
But they don't care, Vivian. They don't really care. The end game is to separate society, to separate children from parents. And we know, you know, when you look at typical communist statements in every tyrannic country, one of the things is that the state owns the children. Parents don't. And I think this is exactly manifesto of that communism that's so indoctrinated in Australia. And one of the sad parts is that Australia never had wars. They never experienced these sorts of things. And I think they frankly have too much fluoride in their water. Their brains are not functioning in a sense where, you know, you can start research. A lot of people are waking up, but I don't think it's enough. I really don't.
Still, there are, this is what I read in the introduction for your presentation. I think this is what you told Corvin. We're organizing in the community, a group of you came together to help the community in health, education, and trade. So that is, to me, the first signs of your building a parallel system of society, healthcare system, education. Ultimately, it'll take everything to be rebuilt from scratch because the existing system, as you explained it right now, the existing system is totally corrupt and it's literally dying. Literally dying.
100%. And, you know, before I go into that, last year, nurse Kimberly McConchy, who was actually a beautiful nurse and a healer, she walked away from her job because she just couldn't be part of the corrupted system anymore. We formed the group called Australian Health Professionals, we've got about nearly 2,000 now on our Telegram. So what we've been doing through all of this period last year is we drafted HR, human resources letters for people to go back to workplace, to take a redundancies, because people are just walking away from jobs. They've been coerced to take a job, or if you don't, you walk away. So we basically educate them and said, no, you're not going to walk away. You're going to go through the process and you're going to get your pay. And you get that in a writing. So one day you can actually sue your employer. And we did a lot of work. It's really for professionals to help them, you know, with the current crisis medical system. That's why I have a lot of insights what's happening in the hospitals here. Because through these nurses, a lot of them are now have walked away. But we do know that in the hospitals here in Victoria, they're still using Remdesivir. They're still euthanizing them. They're still putting them on a ventilator. Last year, I coached literally someone to leave the hospital because they put her on Remdesivir. And even to this day, 4 or 5 months later, she can't breathe properly. It's like the hospitals are murder centers.
That is precisely what in our last session, I think, of the grand jury investigation, one of the experts, he is a director of a funeral home in Great Britain. You may have heard of him. His name is John O'Looney. That is precisely what he told us. He got COVID, or maybe it was the flu. We don't know what it is. He had problems breathing, not life-threatening, but he had problems breathing. And when he was put in the ambulance, they tried to immediately get his consent to ventilate him, which, as we all know, can be deadly. And the way he described it, they were constantly trying to do things with him to treat him with medical, or give him medical treatment that, as we know now, is fatal. Putting someone on a ventilator, treating someone with Remdesivir, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, I'm so glad that I got out of there without them being able to kill me.
Well, this particular lady, lovely lady, she got one or two Remdesivir and her blood pressure dropped and she couldn't breathe. When I find out that she was in a hospital, I managed to get her out. Because it caused the kidney failure, it caused the liver failure and all of that. And look, I wouldn't know any of that if I wasn't surrounded with these beautiful nurses and doctors who tell me what's going on. But going back to positive, I feel that we're breaking the ice. I feel that the system is collapsing, no doubt about that. And so a couple of weeks ago, there is about 12 of us from all different walks of life. Kimberly is part of that group, as well as a couple of other beautiful doctors and business people and so on. What we need to do is organize communities. I personally don't believe that new minor party can change the old corrupted system. It's just illusion. I believe we need to organize ourselves. So we're looking how we can do this homeschooling, how we can go out there and educate people what's happening in the hospitals, how we can organize the tradings. We're looking to do the markets where people can buy for cash, where they can sell the products. So we're looking a couple of pillars through the society that we can actually create a template, if you like, go out there to community and say, we need to have a small committee in your suburb or couple of suburbs. You tell us what you need. You organize your events. We will bring the doctors and others to speak, you know, which elderly need the care. And to be honest, Kimberly is already involved in creating the home care, because people are now realizing that the nursing homes are also deadly centers. So as many people are now pulling their parents out of the nursing home, and they want to have the setup and nursing at home. And I think that's the future. And to be honest, you know, I grew up with my grandmother, who was 96, in the same house with my parents. That's the European culture. We never dumped anyone in a nursing home, anything like that. And we need to go back to that. We need to go back to take care of old people, and not to... They're basically euthanizing these old people. They're poor people selling their home to go in to be cared for, and they're locked. Because we've got a couple of nursing homes around us, you can't see these people. They're literally locked in. The doors, everything is locked. You can't even see them walking in there.
Terrible. But they're relatives. They're relatives. I mean, most of these people must have relatives. How do they react to that?
I don't really know. Some relatives pulling their parents out. Some people don't have, you know, I don't know what's the situation in Australia with the borders. Can you travel or not without vaccination? So it's a really complex issue. I know if that was my parent, that parent will never be in a nursing home, no matter what. I will pay the nurse to come here on a daily basis. But, you know, it's all by design. Like, you know, we want a bigger house. We want a better jobs. We want to do this. We want to do that. And we don't care for our children anymore. We dump them in, you know,
kindergartens
when they're 6 months of age. And we dump the same way our parents. And because, you know, everyone wants a bigger house and bigger cars and more expensive things. And it's just like a rat race. And I think that's where the society has become really so useless, if that makes sense. We as humans lost that ability to feel connection anymore, because everyone is running around to have more money and to have a bigger house and better career. And, you know, it's okay if you leave your child who is 6 months old in a daycare. I don't think that's not normal, to be honest. I know a lot of people will judge me, but I think, you know, the kids needs to build a immunity and have that beautiful home with the grandparents and be looked after that way. I think we need to go back to that.
It's probably all about, and this is what Wolfgang Wodak, who has joined us, has said right from the start. It's all about our core values that we find within our families, within our communities, within our regions. And they're trying to supplant everything and instead make people believe that we don't have any identities. We don't have any cultural identities. And that is wrong. That's why we have to disconnect. As you said, you haven't watched television for a long time. Neither has Vivian. I have stopped watching television when I first understood about what's going on through the corona crisis. But we have to disconnect and set up our own system. We don't have a choice. It's not just a right that we have. We don't have a choice because the old system, their system, is totally corrupt and it's dying.
Well, I watched your last session with these ladies who have the homeschooling in a mill, and what the police did, you know, with these children. I mean, that's not human. Why would you go and petrify all these children who are in a homeschooling environment, being nurtured by these mothers and the teachers and whatever they really want to help? Why would you do that? It's but again going. Yeah, but it's also when we know the history because we are Europeans. That's the same what every tyrannic government did. It's the same in Cuba, same during the Nazi Germany, Argentina. They use the media to publicize those things. So they put the fear into people. And when you put the fear, then you can manipulate them any which way you like. And I think that's what's happening. But I'm glad that more and more people are waking up. Unfortunately, my family is not one of them. You know, they took a third jab. They're all sick now, and they still can't understand, you know, why this is happening. So I think.
So they're not even making the connection.
No. Mm-hmm. No, they're not. Because my dad is 85. He went to the doctors, and doctors said, "Oh yeah, that's like a flu. You know, you get a virus in, and your body is reacting to it to build the immune system." And like you, Raina, I'm not religious. I mean, don't forget I come from communist country myself, but I'm spiritual. I believe there are forces out there that are greater than us. And I was brought up with the values of do the good thing and the good thing will come to you. And that was being premises all my life. So I believe we need to stand up for what we believe. I know my family don't understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. I've lost friends of 20 years, but you know, we don't have a choice. You know, you can't compromise your values and your integrity. And, you know, even my family might not understand what's happening. I'm fighting for them as well. And for grandchildren that I don't want any child, you know, to go through any horrible things that they've been. And you talked about what's happening with these foster homes. Last year, there was an article in a newspaper. There was an investigation here in Victoria, I believe, that the commissioner for something, there's so many commissioners, they were investigating why kids are disappearing from these, you know, what you call them. It's not a foster home, but it's a place where they put all children without parents. It's kind of like something like that. Yeah, they're disappearing, but they don't understand why they're disappearing and, you know, what's happening with them. So there is a commission investigation into that. So I believe all these foster homes, all these NGOs, all of these non-for-profit, for this, for that, they all cover up for all of these nefarious things. I'm convinced of that.
You're probably right.
Now, okay, that's a topic that we maybe have to investigate at another point.
We've had lots of hints, some even very concrete evidence pointing in that direction. We're going to have to take a much closer look at that particular piece of the puzzle. You know, the intermediate result that. Or conclusion that we've come to is that the way that they, the Davos clique, are controlling their puppets is through money, bribing, and other forms of control in terms of extortion. This may be one of them. But we will have to take a closer look in order to make a really informed decision on this. Alma, I thank you so much, but Professor Pavelic has been waiting. I don't want to cut you off, so if there's anything that needs to be mentioned, please go ahead.
No, I just want to say thank you so much for all your amazing work. And, you know, I've learned so much from all of these sessions. I've been following you, Reina, since day one you started your videos. And I just want to say thank you for your courage and everything you do.
Thank you, Alma.
Thank you for today.
It's the same is true for us because we have learned so much through these hearings. It's incredible. I didn't know anything at the start. Vivian is much smarter than I am. She knew long before this all started there's something seriously wrong.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you soon.